from the man, Dieter Peter, DD. Trey, you up, man? You doing okay over there? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm great. Ready for a good weekend?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to let you veto them. You can tell me. You don't want to do any stuff this weekend. Are we going to go to the batting cages, or are we going to throw baseball this weekend?
Both.
Okay. Are we going to the driving range and playing golf this weekend on the course?
Both.
Are we going to Skin's Hot Dog and have a hot dog eating contest this weekend?
One.
Okay. All right. Are we... Let me see where else we're going to do here. Are we going to sleep in tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Batching it. The batch life. Bro time. Is bro time going good for you so far? Everything all right?
Yep.
Good. Glad to have you with us, buddy. Let me tell you about my great friends over at All Dry. MyAllDry.com is the website. I think of All Dry, and I see the awesome wrap around the vehicle. You see Stan buzzing all around the upstate of South Carolina. There's helping folks, and the good news here is that at All Dry, it is a local company, and the phone call you make is going to be a local phone call. I hope you don't have to make a phone call about water damage and about standing water or about any kind of mold issues you might have. Someone at the university told me yesterday there's a building at the university that there's mold in right now, and that there is an employee in there that has had strep throat 3 times this year. And I'm like, what? Well, they got air conditioning issues. And I'm like, of course you do. It's 1,000 degrees out there. So of course you got mold issues and all that. Anyway, and so they said, it's a coincidence? Well, no, it's not a coincidence. Mold's a terrible thing. Mold is a terrible inhibitor for your health and the quality of your air, and your breathing, and your lungs, and your throat, and all that stuff. So look, let's don't mess around with it. Call these awesome folks. MyAllDry.com. 864-863-1234. What you think might be allergies might be hidden behind the walls. Let's just see if you got any issues. So great friends at MyAllDry.com. 864-863-1234. All right. We're going to get back to these ACC coaches. Let me run through a couple of our Adams Curry text line stuff here. 1319 said, it's a rabid fan base until they started playing 30 miles from campus. Yeah, I will tell you this, though. They did play in the Orange Bowl, and I've been to the Orange Bowl on 2 occasions, the old Orange Bowl. It was a dump, and it was in an awful, awful part of town. And so it was dangerous to go there. So with that said, they did the right thing to move. They need an on-campus facility. If you're making $500 million a year in that nonprofit hospital you got down there, build your on-campus facility. Build you about $50,000 is all you need. And get it done right. Jed gets in on the basketball stuff. It said that he heard the Austrian kid. Help me out here, Ashby.
David Fuchs.
Fuchs.
I believe.
He can hit threes for a big guy. All right, let's get that done. I'll go with that. Texter said, Ryan from Seneca says, have you talked at all with William Quackenbush on his hot take about Greg Sankey? Saying him and Dabo needs to be careful. I've not. I saw Quack get excited yesterday. Or day before yesterday, whenever it was. The one thing I can tell you is, when it comes to compliance, Dabo doesn't have to be careful.
No.
This is where Sankey's got it mixed up here. He does not have to be careful.
This is I don't know if it was Sankey that said that, or an Ole Miss beat writer that actually made the point of Dabo Swinney needs to be careful by name. But whoever said it is clearly very ignorant that they're talking about one person that really can't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one guy that's driving the speed limit, and then you talk about speeding on the interstate. No, not with this cat. No. No. Texture says, I own a restaurant. Coke $2.89, tea $1.89. I'd rather sell cheaper beverages than have to give folks water so they'll use a lemon and 12 packs of Splenda to make it lemonade. Also, the 4 refills they get from my 7 servers won't add anything to the tip. Yes. So I like that idea. $1.89. Let's go.
That's your kind of guy.
Yeah, that's my guy right there. Where's your restaurant? I'll come eat at your restaurant. And again, let me be clear. I want to pay more for the entree. I don't want to pay more, but put it in the entree. And I'll be honest with you. Let's say drinks included. Add whatever you want to add to the entree, but say, hey, free drinks. And you're packaging it that way. So let me know what it is. I'll come if it's nearest. I'll come and visit you. Yeah. Mr. Alder said if he's one person driving the speed limit, then maybe that's why you're getting past. That's okay. I'd rather get past than cheat. The only thing worse than losing is cheating. So if you want to look yourself in the mirror and know yourself a cheater, I'm a winner, but I'm a cheater. I don't want to win that way. I want to do it the right way. I don't want to go in and steal a guy that's already on campus, that's out of the portal, already on campus, and already enrolled into his class. And you can try to validate it all you want to. Well, guess what? Somebody's wives and husbands aren't cheating on them. A lot of wives and husbands are cheating. My wife and I, we're not cheating. So just because others are, my wife and I, we're going to choose not to cheat on each other. And if you want to morally say, well, you're just missing out. Well, I don't have to miss out. I have to lose. Losing is not the worst thing to happen to you. Cheating is. Sorry. All right. Let me get back to this. Are we done with Mario? We do enough of that?
I think we're good on Mario.
We gave enough evidence. 12 losses as a favorite last 5 years. Mario's a terrible game day coach, great recruiter, and he's got the treasure chest of NIL money.
I don't think you can be the best coach in the ACC if you are a terrible game day coach.
Yeah, game day is not his deal. He needs to be so good. He needs to be that much better than you to beat you. All right. Rhett Lashley, here's my thought here. I know two people, one in athletics and one in the media, that rave about Rhett Lashley.
I like Rhett Lashley.
I did not like him as an offensive coordinator. He was offensive coordinator at Auburn, and I thought it was terrible. And UConn, didn't think it was very good. And SMU got a little better, whatever. At Miami, I didn't think it was all that good. In 20 and 21, he was at Miami. See, right by saying this. They went 7-5 in 21. In 20, they went 8-3. But in 20, they scored 34 points a game. It's pretty good. And in 21, 34 points a game. Yeah, it's pretty good. So he was good at Miami. And then he got the SMU job. And I'll tell you this, while I don't think he is an elite play caller, I think he's an excellent front man, an excellent CEO. And I'm hearing really good things. And you know what? And I kind of like how honest he is with the media about the ACC and about what he says and how he takes. You know, he takes up for himself. He's not a pushover guy, and he's 38-16 at SMU. He's 7-6, then 11-3, 11-3, and 9-4. He's made the college football playoffs, and he's in the ACC. He's 27-5. No, he's 14-2 in the ACC. I think Rhett Lashley's done a terrific job at SMU.
And brought them their first ever CFP appearance the first year in the ACC.
Yeah.
And had big wins that year and got some big wins last year with a really bad secondary.
Yeah.
Really bad. Still found ways to win. Found Kevin Jennings, believed in him. Guy that wasn't getting a lot of interest. I'm high on Rhett Lashley. I think he's a really good coach. Head coach.
The only problem I have, he's 20-7 at SMU the last 2 years. The only problem I have is there's 7 losses the last 2 years, right? He lost as an 11-point favorite at home to BYU. He lost as a 2-point favorite to Clemson in the ACC championship game. He lost as a 3-point favorite to Baylor at home. He lost as a 13-point favorite to Cal. He lost us at 23 on that. So 4 times in the last 2 years he's lost as a favorite. I don't like that. But but it's good. It's good. And Jennings comes back, and I think they're going to be good. I, to be honest with you, I think they're the second best team in the ACC right now. So I'm a Lashley guy.
Mickey, imagine telling you that 5 years ago.
SMU be best?
If I told you in 2021 that Miami and SMU were the two top dogs in the ACC, what would you say?
Yeah, I wouldn't have believed that. part of that is Clemson fell off, and part of that is they got better. But you know what they have in common? Big NIL money. SMU, I mean, that's oil money, and that's Texas money, and that's big, and they're going to invest. I'll ask you this, the interesting part of Rhett Lashley to me. Rhett Lashley going to be at SMU long? I just feel like he didn't take the Arkansas job. I just feel like that if you're his agent guy.
Okay.
All right, you're his agent. We'll take Arkansas, right? SMU is a better job than Arkansas right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the ACC, and Kentucky comes open. I don't think he takes that, does he?
Maybe.
If Eli left, take a bigger one. Missouri a better job than SMU?
I would say, yeah.
Florida's not open. Auburn. I always thought Auburn. I always thought I'd go back to Auburn. Did he turn out Auburn last year? Or did he get to that?
I heard his name. Listen, I heard his name in every single coaching search it felt like last year.
Yeah.
And he's coming back. So I don't know who's turning down who there.
SMU or South Carolina? Shane Beamer's fired. You going after Rhett Lashley?
No, I'm staying at SMU. Who's been successful there?
I got one for you. Something happens to BV. BV takes Clemson one day. Hypo goes to Oklahoma.
Yeah, you take Tennessee.
Take Tennessee.
Absolutely.
Take Texas A&M. Texas guy. Something happens to Elko. Elko goes pro. Hey, I got one for you. Golden ain't going to last. Golden's going to be gone in a couple of years.
Ole Miss, yes.
He take Ole Miss over SMU? Mm-hmm. Oklahoma, would they come after him? Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, Alabama, that job could come open.
So do you think it would be more of a fit than a DeBoer?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Rhett Lashley has been in the South before. Again, he was an Auburn guy. And SMU's a little more of a South. That's one thing you got to realize about Alabama. So Rhett Lashley was a GA first of all, he played at Arkansas.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He was a GA, or he coached high school in Arkansas. He was a GA at Arkansas, a GA at Auburn. He's coached at Samford and Auburn, already the state of Alabama. And he's coached at Miami. So he's been in the South.
I like this.
So maybe that's your guy. And I know DeBoer just signed an extension, but I think DeBoer is a Southern Cal guy maybe in the future. The thing about DeBoer is, here's DeBoer's coaching. This is what Alabama people have a problem with. He coached – well, first of all, he was born in South Dakota. He played at Western Washington and Sioux Falls. He coached at Sioux Falls at Washington High School as an assistant coach. He coached at Sioux Falls again at Southern Illinois, at Eastern Michigan, at Fresno State, at Indiana, at Washington, and down Alabama. He's never coached in the South.
And unfortunately, as good of a coach as...
He's a great coach, but they're not going to let him be a great coach. I'm just telling you. Yep. It ain't going to end good there. One more quickly, and then we got Josh Williams. Josh Williams got a fascinating topic to talk about with the British Open Roto.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right. Jeff Brohm, who I remember is a quarterback, by the way, and then he played in the NFL, was the quarterback coach at Louisville and then at Florida Atlantic and then at Illinois and then at UAB and then at Western Kentucky and was the head coach at Western Kentucky, Purdue, and Louisville. At Western Kentucky, in his – as a head coaching stint now, because he was an assistant there too, he was 8-5, 12-2, and 10-3. So 30-10, finished ranked 1 year. Did a really good job at Western Kentucky. Took over at Purdue and 7-6, 6-7, 4-8, 2-4, 9-4, 8-5, 36-34, 26-25 in the league. It's a tough job. Won the 3 bowl games in those 6 years. But came home to mama. Mama called, and he's been 10-4, 9-4, and 9-4. Here's and I think Jeff Brohm's a good game day coach. Jeff Brohm beats people he's not supposed to beat. Jeff Brohm beat Notre Dame in his 3 years he's been there. Okay, quickly, in 23 he was a 6-point dog to Notre Dame, and he beat him by 2 touchdowns. Jeff Brohm was a 10-point dog at Clemson in 24 and decisively pounded Clemson. Last year, he was a 13-point dog to Miami, and he won that one. Once a year, you're going to get a Jeff Brohm game. That's what you know. Sam's a Purdue fan. He talks a Jeff Brohm game, in which they did it to Washington, or underdog to Washington, and they won that one. However, on the other side of it, Jeff Brohm loses games he shouldn't.
Amen. They had no business losing to Clemson last year, the way that game went.
No. I'm gonna add this up. He was a 21-point favorite in 24 to Stanford and got beat. It's like, what? In the first year, 7-point favorite to Pittsburgh got beat. 7-point favorite to Kentucky and got beat. 7-point favorite to SMU in 24 and got beat. That's three. A 21-point favorite to Stanford and got beat. Like, you can't be 21-point favorites. He's a 7-point favorite last year to Virginia and got beat. He was a 19-point favorite to California last year and got beat. You can't be 19-point favorites and lose. He was a 2-point favorite to Clemson and got beat. So seven times in 2 years. So it's 2-for-1. Every year he's going to upset somebody, but every year he's going to lose two games he shouldn't lose. And plus, I hate to judge somebody by the way they look, because I know he has some health issues in there too, but like, he's a quirky-looking guy, kind of a quirky acting guy. He's not really a smooth kind of deal in there. So, yeah, you're going to get the one game where every year you're going, man, Jeff Brohm's going to get it done at Louisville. But then you get two games going, what? He lost to Stanford? He's a 21-point favorite. What? He lost to Cal? He's a 19-point favorite. And the Cal game was at home. Like, you're going to get that all the time there with him.
He's kind of like your baseball player that is going to hit a home run every now and then.
And a strikeout.
And it's going to strike out a lot.
That's right.
So feast or famine.
That's right. All right. British Open Rota. Really interesting conversation. Josh Williams, much more after this.
If you don't agree with one of our hosts,
you're an idiot.
Let us know on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar, where every day is game day.
One Tom Plumber, remember the number. The name is the number. So when it comes time to it, don't be searching Google searches and Google reviews. Do it in advance, because if it ever comes up, you're going to know. One Tom Plumber, that's it. Put in one Tom Plumber. You call them. They're going to take care of all that, whatever's in front of you. It might be the drain, might be the water heater, might be the disposal. Who knows? It might be the septic tank. Who knows how it's all going to work. But when it does go bad, there's one emergency number to call 24 hours a day. The price is the price. No haggling. They're going to get out. They're going to take care of it for you. Licensed, bonded, insured, locally owned. Clemson grads in Charleston and Columbia and in Greenville. Upstate of South Carolina, call one Tom Plumber.
The Upstate Sports Leader. 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar FM. Where the
really interesting conversation to have with my good friend Josh Williams. Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing this Friday morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome. Reviewing a little bit. Burkdale. Burkdale hold up okay. It looked like it got off to a rocky start because of the high, the 62s. Saw a lot of 62s out that way. But the golf course played tough late and played tough in the middle for some, and inconsistent scoring for some. What do you think how Burkdale held up?
I mean, ultimately, I guess you have to say, yeah, it certainly did. I mean, yeah, to yield 362s throughout the week, but yet the winning score only being 10 under par, it held up quite well. Like you mentioned last week, with the way, how dry and firm it had been, it kind of ultimately did kind of turn more into favor in the Bombers, just because the penalty for missing it in the fescue was just not very high, unless you were extremely far offline. It's how dry it was. It's very wispy, and it just wasn't that much of a penalty in a lot of spots. So, a lot of guys just sent it over the bunkers and just dealt with whatever they got with and got as close to the green as possible.
Burkdale doesn't rank as high as others in the Rota, but in watching, looking at it, I think we're talking about an underrated golf course now. I gained a lot of respect for Royal Burkdale. Would you agree with that? Is it ranked pretty appropriately by a lot of the ranking people?
I think it's definitely in the top half. Yeah. It's got a pretty distinguished list of winners and good tournaments, and obviously even these last couple tournaments have been quite good. I think it's probably in the RNA would probably even say in the top third of their best venues.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of hitting it way offline, which you mentioned earlier, Bryson DeChambeau hit it way offline, and it ended up costing him two shots penalty as what came out of all that. What'd you think of the what'd you make of the DeChambeau fiasco?
Yeah, I mean the ruling itself, the one, you know, sort of camera angle presented obviously probably didn't do him any favors to try and, you know, make a case. I mean, ultimately you're at the mercy of whatever the rules committee comes up with. So in that case, I can agree with their assessment and, you know, in providing the penalty. It's hard to see, you know, for us sitting at home on TV because you can't really actually see the golf ball. But when you're in, you know, if you look at the quote from kind of the chief official that, you know, using words like, you know, when you're in a area like that, you must take the least intrusive course of action. And I think kind of his argument was that, you know, he was using his normal course of, you know, his normal course of swinging routine and building a stance. But in some of those instances, you know, you're not really always entitled to that when you're in adverse areas like that. So from their perspective, yeah, I can see it. You know, I think it's probably warranted. You know, the whole charade after that, what he did the next few hours, and obviously they gave him a lot more runway and going back out to the site, which they don't normally do for anyone else. You know, that was kind of the part that I think rubbed you a little wrong, maybe. It was just this whole production these next few hours after the ruling and his argument and all that. You know, he never did any media after any round or anything. I mean, you would think after a situation like that, you know, that would probably be a place where he'd want to provide his point of view. I don't know, maybe he's saving that for his YouTube channel and do an expose later on. I don't know.
So part of it, though, is I don't think he purposely cheated.
No.
I think that he thought he was entitled to go through his normal routine. And
yeah.
And he's not entitled to that. I think that's where – is that fair? Is that within the realm of your thought, how that worked out?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially kind of what part of the quote says. I mean, that you must take the least intrusive course of action to take a stance, and that they are not entitled to a normal stance or swing in
right.
their on
right.
his judgment.
100%.
Yeah.
100% right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm glad we got through that, because I want to get through the Rota and what that looks like. You have a couple thoughts here.
Yeah, so the R&A does it a little bit differently with, you know, announcing future venues. They've only announced the next two. They're at the Old Course next year, and then they're going back to Rhythm for the first time in a while in 28. So the next one open is 2029. It's too soon, obviously, to go back to Port Rush. That would be, you know, 3 and 10 years. It's too soon to go back to, you know, Hoy Lake, Liverpool, or Troon. So it kind of opens up to, you know, they discussed a few others. Obviously, they've been doing a lot of work trying to get Port Marnock, which would be the first one outside of the UK there, right outside of Dublin. Obviously, you and I have been to that one, and it's very good. They've approved changes to make there, so that's one. And then they've also kind of, you know, people, they're always asked about Muirfield and Turnberry, and it, you know, doesn't necessarily seem like those are close. I had to guess. I think they would actually probably end up maybe going back to St. George's and kind of throwing them a bone, because their last one in 21 was the COVID restricted attendance one, and then maybe they get Port Marnock by 2030. But kind of the overall thing is that, you know, as the Open becomes so big that, you know, they've kind of left out, and, you know, with how big it's become and the massive build-out, does it leave out championships at places that, you know, have hosted, obviously, not only in the past, but hosted really good ones, and specifically, like, I say, obviously, Muirfield's done it 16 times. Obviously, we know about Turnberry and what they've done, and obviously, Carnoustie's another one, 2018. I mean, they've done it how many times, and those have been obviously three great venues there in Scotland that are kind of left on the outside looking in right now because of the expanse and how big the Open's become.
Well, here's one issue. Number one, when we were in Scotland and we were in Ireland, I talked about several locals there. They take it away from Turnberry. Turnberry is one of the top 10 golf courses in the world. There are some folks think Turnberry is the best golf course in the UK. But they take it away from him because Trump owns it. Like, who cares what name it is? Just call it the Open at call it something different. Who cares? Let's play the best golf courses and let's get that done. The other thing is becoming too big. Now, it's so corporate and it's such an international deal. But, you know, Royal County Down or Royal Dornick, Ballybunion, or like, there's a lot of places that you could host this in that would be unbelievable golf courses. But I mean, again, logistics and the corporate side of it, they do limit themselves. Is that fair?
Yeah, and if you look at just the last 5 years, you know, this year at Birkdale, 306,000 attendance for the week. Last year at Port Rush, 278,000. Troon was just under 260. Liverpool, Hoy Lake, 23 was a little over 260. The old course in 22 was 290, and they're projecting next year that number's going to be well over 300. And if you compare that to some of these, they're kind of leaving on the outside. Obviously, Carnoustie in 2018 is 172,000. Riffra in 2013 is 142. And Turnberry in 2009 was over 120. The RNA is the governing body for basically all the golf in the world except for the United States and Canada. You know, they use, you know, like college football, you know, you use that to kind of fund everything else in your athletic department. Well, they use the, you know, they use the Open to fund everything else that they do and all the other events they put on and niches and all that. But, you know, it's, it leaves some of the, like, it leaves, you know, politics aside, it leaves some of the best golf courses essentially kind of on the cutting room floor because they're trying to maximize everything they can get out of it. To fund everything they want to do.
So in attendance, like in-person attendance, is obviously a huge factor for them. And the other part of it, like if I'm Mirfield, if I'm Royal County Down, I'm not sure. If I'm Dornick, I'm not sure that the text will tell us Dornick ever hosted. They've not. Royal County Down has not. Now, Mirfield has. They've hosted 16 times. But I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not sure I want them. It's such a disruption. And the other thing is they come in and they redesign your golf course sometimes.
Like, that's my next point. Yeah. Is it worth making all the changes to your golf course to have a tournament once every 10 years?
Right.
And Muirfield specifically, so one, they've got to kind of redo the driving range, which is not a big issue. They've got the land to do it. They've got the land kind of adjacent to the ninth hole. They can build a big new driving range, but another one that they want to, they've got two holes, you know, the par five fifth on the front, its green is, you know, within, I'm going to say like 50 feet of, the 11th green. And there's a couple bunkers in between that can kind of go play both ways. They want to relocate that, because which would kind of redesign a little bit of that hole itself, because it's a, they call it a, you know, a pinch point for spectators. And that's fair in some respects. But, you know, another thing with Muirfield is that they've got the contract for the Scottish Open at Renaissance, which is, you know, right next door, you know, goes through 2030. So, I mean, until they kind of, you maybe relocate that for a year or something, you know, I don't think Muirfield's really seriously considered. But a lot of the changes that they make, I mean, you heard him talk about it last week, how they're, I think he used member-driven changes. I mean, ultimately, a lot of those changes are to kind of magically free up space to kind of boost their, you know, commercial side. It certainly did at Birkdale with the new par three, opening up space there for fan Village. Obviously, they did it at Port Rush. They took away what was the original two finishing holes, created two new holes in the middle that opened up space for, you know, the big, some of their tent village there. Like Berkeley, if you think about 15, that new par 3, it's, I can't say that's be super popular one among members with the way that's played. I mean, and a lot of these, they get the same architectural firm, McKinsey needs it, that's basically contracted and does all that work. I mean, I think they've done 7 or 8 of the 10 current open venues, and, you know, not all of them are great received. I mean, this one at Birkdale, their mission is already changing it, you know, right after this. The par 3, I mean, if you think a few years ago, that new short par 3 at Holy Lake was pretty severe. That was redone right after the open. The members, a lot of them just skipped the hole because they didn't like it. You know, hey, Port Rush.
That helps your score, by the way, just going to skip a hole.
Yeah. I mean, Port Rush, those two new holes, 7 and 8, they had to redo the 7th green right after that first open of 2019 because, you know, they didn't have enough pin locations on it. And you even kind of heard it in Scheffler's press conference last week. They're like, yeah, it's very obvious, you know, which holes have been redone because they just don't look like they're on the same golf course.
Well, let's do this. Let's get a new architectural firm in there and build a good green, a good hole, rather than having to go back and redo it. And the final thought here, just for a historical standpoint, like if you're Port Marnock, they're going to change a bunch of holes. 1 or 18 would be one, and 17 is now 18, and you're moving greens and moving stuff. Port Marnock's built in 1894. And all of a sudden now we're going to change everything. Or and I know they make changes all the time, but like Mirfield's built in 17, or been around since 1744. And the golf course built in 1891. But it's like, wait a minute, we're gonna change everything for 1 week every 10 years or 8 years? I don't know, man. I can see it. But if you don't, then you're missing out on Mirfield, and you're missing out on Dornick, or you're missing out on Port Marnock, or, you know, you're already missing out on Turnberry anyway. Like, you're just giving up great opportunities, great venues, but you got to have 300,000 people in there, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that, if you think back to the U.S. Open the last month, I mean, it was basically mentioned by the USGA that, you know, we're willing to take a, whatever it was, 20, 25, 30% hit on attendance here coming to Shinnecock because we know the golf course is that good.
Well, in L.A., they did the same thing. But on that side of it, if you don't have people there, the atmosphere stunk at Shinnecock, and the atmosphere stunk at L.A. So there's a balance in there.
Correct.
There's a balance.
Yeah.
Fascinating conversation.
Can they stomach that?
I know, right. It's interesting.
To go back to a couple of these places that, probably still should be.
It's a balance. It's a really interesting deal.
Yes, should be used. Yeah.
We're seeing it in football. We're decreasing capacities for football to make it a better experience for everybody. Anyway, let's stay on that topic. Let's do a lot more of that when we visit next week.
All right. Sounds good. We've got to turn the page here to football here soon.
Yes. Let's go.
Getting to August.
Let's go. I'm with you. All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, that's a really interesting conversation to me. Short break. We'll come at ReedyLanco.com hunting and fish report right after this.
With the Roar app, whenever your Clemson Tigers are playing, touchdown! The game is streaming live from anywhere in the world. Your Tigers.
Your Tigers.
Your flagship station.
Your app. Download it today.
In hour three, after our ReedyLanco.com hunting fish report, I want you to get in touch with us on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. 864-LAW is their number. If you need them, 864-LAW. If you need us here, 654-ROAR. Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines. They're the phone lines and our phone lines. 864-LAW.com is a way to reach those good folks at Pratt Injury phone lines. And here, number 654-ROAR. Short break, much more to this.
We call it like it is, even if you don't like it.
Yesterday, I don't know why I went down this rabbit hole, but the guy's talking about the 5 most influential albums of all times, and that album, that Joni Mitchell album, is supposed to be one because it introduces L.A. Sound, and I don't know what the L.A. Sound is. I barely know Joni Mitchell, but that, you know, when I know that, that's a Counting Crows remake. Counting Crows remade that one from Joni Mitchell.
It did.
Is Joni Mitchell, and am I missing something here?
She's one of those, like, singer-songwriter types that kind of revolutionized how people did that, I think.
Okay.
Folk type.
Right.
I love that song.
We played Carole King earlier this week.
I love Carole King.
I feel the earth. Anyway, Joni Mitchell. live here in the studio band for us. Good stuff. TreHL.com does a great job. They want to build for you. I talked about the construction manager at risk stuff. Talked to you about their pre-construction services can certainly help you out in this building process. There's no reason, no wonder they're the number one commercial builder in North Carolina, South Carolina. Trails done an amazing job. You see their stuff everywhere. Trails business model, their people, how they do things, their delivery methods. It's just off the charts. You're going to love this. It's our great friends at Trail. Find out more about the Better Building Experience. Find out why 85% of their volume comes from repeat clients. Find out why they continue to just do great things and continue to get these unbelievable reviews. You know, one of the cool things you learn about from inside of organization is they're on about their 10th consecutive year being voted the best place to work in South Carolina. That's voted on by their employees, nominated and voted on by their employees. TREHL.com, 800-319-7006. To our ReedyLandCo.com's hunting and fish report, the segment brought to you by those great friends, and Josh Hester joins us. Good morning, Josh. How you doing?
Good morning, Mickey. How you doing?
I am fantastic. We're talking about two of my favorite things today. Because dove season is right around the corner, man. And we need to train dogs. The idea that a man's best friend gets that title for a reason, the idea that you can take these dogs and how much these dogs enjoy this and the bond you have between outdoor people and dogs is awesome and amazing. So let's talk about it. And really one of the coolest aspects of hunting is that man's best friend down there beside you is your companion.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody says it, but I've got a black lab. His name is Fletcher, and he is by far my best friend. I trust him. He trusts me. And been hunting for a couple years together, and took a lot of time just training him up, doing blind retrieves, T-drills, and just making sure that he's performing at the best of his ability. And I've gotten to the point where I'll go duck hunting, and yeah, just having the chance to shoot ducks is always cool, but I've got to the point where I'd way rather just watch him work and enjoy just seeing him just be happy and doing the things he loves.
All right. What do I need to know? How early? How long does it take? Who does it? Can you do it yourself? The professional people doing it? I've seen both. Give me the advantage,
yes, sir.
Disadvantage. What do I need to know about training these dogs?
So it's a little bit of a mixture of everything you just said. I know that I've been training Fletcher since he was about 5 months old. Made it just really, really fun for him. Took the wing of a dove or duck wing, and we just sat in the hallway and made sure that I'd throw it out there. He'd go get it, have fun, come back, sit down next to me. But you can do it yourself. I mean, there's a lot of YouTube videos and that you can watch, and I've done a little bit of both, sending them off to training. I've got a buddy back home that helped me train them, and then a lot of it I do myself. But it's been a fun journey, to say the least.
With the professional trainers, you send them off. I mean, because that's your companion. You're gonna send them to boarding school, kind of a thing. Now, how long are we talking about? How long gonna be without my dog if you do send them off full time?
Honestly, it just depends on how quick they pick things up. I mean, it could be as short as 6 months. It could be as long as a year. But, I mean, I made sure that when I did send them off that I was going down there to spend time with them at least every 3 or 4 weeks, just because, obviously, it's your kid at that point, so yeah, you miss them. Yeah. But I was going to check on them and help train them because I'm not a professional by no means, so yeah. I wanted to learn everything that the professional had to offer. That way, when I had them back to myself, I was still doing the same things that the professional was doing, just to make sure he kept learning everything he needed.
All right. Is there a cross-section? If you can dove hunt, does that mean you can duck hunt with them? Or is there any different? Obviously, you're talking about water compared to fields and sunflower fields and all that kind of stuff. But is there just a good hunting dog, good tracking dog? Can you take them rabbit hunting too? Like, is there, or just one specialty that these dogs do?
Well, I mean, every dog is different. I know my father, he was a big, big rabbit dog, and so he had a bunch of beagles, and we'd done that growing up. And so I know for a fact I couldn't take his beagles into a duck blind with me and
right,
make them retrieve a duck. So, I mean, there's different retrievers for every aspect of hunting. I mean, you've got dogs that'll sit there and sniff a blood trail for a deer. You've got duck dogs, and obviously a duck dog can pick up doves, pheasants, and just winged birds in general. And then, of course, you got rabbit dogs and stuff like that.
All right. Someone wants to know cost. What's a high and a low if we do it professionally? I would think it's a pretty big investment.
It is. It really is. I know some professionals out there, they could be as low as $500 a month, and then some of the other ones can get up to $1,500 a month. Whoa. I mean, it gets expensive in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. My final one, dogs. I think, and this might be me, you know, sometimes you outdoors people, you do this, so you say, oh, man, this, we harvested this animal we shot, and, man, we can't wait to cook them, and, well, it tastes so good, but it doesn't taste good. You know, you kind of validate it, right? So I hear this a lot of time with dogs. Oh, man, these dogs, that's what they're bred to do. They love this. I can buy this a little more. Is that right, that dog just lives to go out and do this?
They do. I mean, it could be 15 degrees out there, and of course dogs do get cold, and you could be over there just suffering and freezing, and that dog is just smiling, and he just wants to, honestly, he just wants to make you happy, just by going and retrieving a bird or anything. I know my dog, the second he wakes up, he goes and grabs his ball, and he's just jumping at the bits, like, please, Dad, just throw it. I just want to retrieve it and bring it back to you, please. Yeah. But it's great. They really do love it. I mean, they are obsessed with it.
All right. I have one off the before I'm gonna finish up with this question here. But tell me about Reedy Land Co. Tell me about what you guys are doing and how you can find you and helping some folks find some great properties.
Yes, sir. It's actually one of my favorite properties I've ever been a part of and been able to work on. It's called Drake's Hollow. It's about 45 minutes away from Clemson. It's 167 acres. You've got deer food plots, you've got deer blinds up, deer stands. We fenced in about an 8-acre dove field, planted sunflowers. It's got a killer duck swamp on it, and it's one of the places I've been able to hunt, and just every single time you go out there, you're able to kill wild mallards, which I don't really see that a lot in the upstate. So that's awesome. But if you want more information, highly recommend checking out our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook at Reedy Land Co. We post some awesome content, some funny videos, and we do a lot of giveaways quite often. So highly recommend giving us a follow on those pages.
All right, ReedyLandCo.com. Got a texture that sent a video. I can't download the video texture, so try to send it another way. I don't know why I can't do that. Maybe Ashby can do that for us. But wants to know, coyote or fox? Josh, let me know if I got this right. Coyotes are much bigger than a fox. Coyote is like a longer, more slender, like a 30, 40 pound deal, whereas a fox is like a 10 or 15 pound deal.
Absolutely.
The fox is shorter, lower profile, kind of more of a built lower to the ground kind of deal. And colors wise, fairly close, but the fox is going to be a little more of a red cedar look compared to coyote.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different foxes. You've got red foxes, gray foxes. Okay. They're really pretty to look at, but they have just different variations of colors.
Yeah. Where the coyote is like a dog, and the fox is more like a really smaller dog, like a built lower to the ground. The length of them, the height of them, and the size of them, whereas like it gives a difference in a 30-pound animal and a 15-pound animal.
Think of like the biggest wiener dog you've ever seen in your life.
Yes.
Compare that to a fox.
Yes. And it kind of looks like a medium-sized dog.
Correct. Yes, sir. Okay.
And foxes are pretty cool, whereas coyotes aren't cool. Is that fair?
Yes, sir. Both of them will destroy a rabbit population, get in a turkey nest. I mean, yeah, there could be a problem, but I don't know. They're to each its own.
Okay, I got you. All right, my friend, always appreciate it. Hope you enjoy a great weekend. Enjoy your dog's name here. Fletcher. Yeah, enjoy.
That's
Fletcher.
It.
Tell Fletcher we said hello.
Yes, sir, I sure will.
All right, buddy. Josh Hester, ReedyLandCo.com. When we come back, I still got all of the ACC coaches to get to. Narduzzi's an interesting study. I'll get to that one. And we'll do I got a little bit of, I have a Clemson baseball thought. I've got a Diego Pavia thought. I've got a PGA Tour thought. I've got some bunch of stuff prepared. But when we come back, let's get back into the ACC coaches stuff. And Pat Narduzzi will be the next one we lead off with. Ash Bell asked you, you know the difference in a coyote and a fox? Can you tell the difference when looking at them? Coyote and fox?
I would like to think so. Right. I'd like to hope so.
All right, let me see. Ray's got them on camera here. The difference in a coyote and a fox. That's a coyote, Ray, what you sent me. That's a coyote. And coyotes need to be destroyed. So you got to go, coyote. I'm sorry, but you got to go. You can't killing my little cats and my little dogs and all my little animals around the house. And they're in packs. The fox don't. They don't work in packs like that. Whereas the coyotes do. So coyote is much more dangerous. Take care of that for sure. All right, we'll take a short break. We're talking about coaches, ACC coaches. Pat Narduzzi's an interesting study. We'll get to him. Tony Elliott, we'll get to him. And James Franklin, new in the league. And Dave Doran, been around forever. Brent Key, I've got thoughts on all these guys and more. Mike Norvell and all these guys and more. A short top of the hour break. Ashby and Mickey getting you ready for the weekend. Final hour right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays on your schedule.
Yeah, baby.
All shows are online on the podcast page
and ready to play when you want.
This is awesome.
Download the Roar app or visit theroarfm.com.
Double Dog Video. We absolutely love Double Dog Video and DoubleDogVideo.com. And again, I'm not a, let's just be honest. When we do video around here, it's tough. We did a video yesterday, Ashby, around here, and it's tough, man, because we're radio people. Let's just admit it. What made John and his team right, they just made you feel comfortable. I know everybody out there gets nervous in front of cameras, and they'll write the copy for you, by the way. They can edit out all of your uhs and all this kind of stuff. They'll do a great job for you. We love Double Dog Video. Love our experience with them. If we didn't, we could get our money back. Only thing is nobody's ever done that. The Double Dog Challenge says give your video back. If you don't like it, they'll give you money back. No one's done that. The prices are great. The experience is great. You need that great video for you? It's DoubleDogVideo.com.
With 13 straight hours of local programming, we've got you covered all day long.